Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. We thank God this morning for waking us up and allowing us to see this new day. The new day that our Lord has made. It is a day that no one else has ever been in this day but our God. And we are excited that he has given us an opportunity and a privilege to live, to be in this day, which is Friday, the 28th of January, 2022. It is the last Friday of this month of January, 2022. And we are excited with what God is doing here at this hour of power, of prayer, praise, and deliverance, this circle of friends. For we serve a mighty God. We serve a very, very good God, the one who was, who is, and is to come. He is truly a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So we thank God for the opportunity to stand on the gap and intercede and encourage each other and lift each other and lift others up, those we know and those we do not know. So we're going to go before the Lord in prayer, and we are praying a prayer of agreement, for one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000. We are more than two here. We are more than three. So we're going to be in agreement, and we know we are putting thousands upon thousands and thousands to flight. And we know it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by his grace, his love, in the mighty name of Jesus. So we say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In the mighty name of Jesus, yes, we let your kingdom, Father God, come on this earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Father God, for giving us this day, today, yes, the 28th of January, 2022, for giving us this day, yes, our daily bread. And we thank you, Father God, for forgiving us of all our debts, all our trespasses, all our shortcomings, anything and everything that we have done that is not pleasing to you. We thank you, Father God, for forgiving us, for you are a forgiving God. You are a gracious God. And we pray, Father God, that anything we have done, whether by thought or by action, whether by omission or by submission, Father, we pray that you forgive us in the mighty name of Jesus, and give us a forgiving heart, Lord, that we forgive also those who have offended us, that we do not hold grudge in our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus, because we do not want our prayers to be hindered, Father. We do not want even the accuser of the saints, who is the devil, to point a finger on us and accuse us of unforgiveness. So we pray, Father God, that you give us a forgiving heart, that we let go, whether those people have asked for forgiveness or not. But we pray, Father God, because forgiveness is good for us. You forgave us, Father. Before we even knew you, Father, you paid a debt that you did not own, Lord. And we owed a debt could not pay. So we pray, Father God, this morning that you give us a forgiving heart and that you lead us, Father God, not into any temptation, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we release the leading of the Holy Spirit. Spirit, the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help us, that you remind us of anything and everything that we need to remember, that we do not become repeated offenders in the mighty name of Jesus, those things we have been forgiven and cleansed, that we do not go back and repeat them in the mighty name of Jesus. So we thank you, Father God, for leading us not into any temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom, Father, and the power and the glory forever and ever. In the mighty name of Jesus, we honor you, Lord. We pray, Father God, for the restoration, yes, and healing of our family members and our friends who are not feeling well right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we send a prayer, Father, on behalf of our sister Marie, Lord, that you touch her body as she is recovering and from this attack of COVID, Father. I pray, Father God, for restoration of all her test bars, all her respiratory system, that she will breathe well and be restored, that she will not even have a stress of or side effects of that she was attacked before. In the mighty name of Jesus, so we thank you for complete and total recovery, Lord, and we thank you for a successful surgery for Sister Nikki, Lord, on her neck surgery she had earlier this week, that she is recovering. Because we know, Father God, that healing is from you. You are the healer. You are the one who heals all our diseases, all our sicknesses. For Lord Jesus, you were wounded for all our transgressions, and you were bruised for all our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon you, Lord. So by your stripes we are healed. So we decree and declare, Father God, that you children are blessed from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, that anything and everything that is out of order, that it become in order. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, Father God, for those who are still sick in the hospitals, and some are in the homes or wherever they are being taken care of. We just release that same healing power, the healing power of the blood of Jesus, that does not lose its power, that does not expire. In the mighty name of Jesus, to touch and heal them, Father, and those who are suffering from all manner of diseases, whether they are mental, whether they are physical or spiritual, even emotional, Father. I just pray, Father God, for my nephew, Nyasha, who is going through whatever he's going through, Father God, and we do not allow this spirit of depression to attack him. In the mighty name of Jesus, for you are, Father God, the one who gives hope to the hopeless. You are the one who restores our peace. You give us in the midst of the storm the peace that surpasses all understanding. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, yes, for you are Jehovah Shalom, the God, our peace, the one who said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And you do not give as the world gives, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. So this morning, Father God, we decree and declare that not our hearts be troubled, Father, neither to let us be afraid. We are not afraid of anything, because we know if you are before us, who can be against us? Who can fight us and win if you are on our side? For we are more than conquerors, Father, regardless whatever weapon that is formed against us. We know that it will not prosper, Father, because greater is you who is in us than he who is against us. In the mighty name of Jesus, so I thank you, Father God, releasing your healing power. Yes, in the name of
Jesus, even the healing of our families, Father, the relationships, Father. We speak and decree and declare order in these homes, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, for restoration of every family member to function the way we should function, Father, restoring this priesthood back to the fathers in their homes, that they are priests in their homes and lead their families in the things of God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And regardless of the state of the economy, how things are going, in the name of Jesus, because we know you own the whole world, Father. It is in your hand. You are in charge. The earth and the fullness thereof belongs to you, and they that dwell in it, Father. So I pray, Father God, for the fathers, that you give them reliable jobs, that give them enough to take care of their parents and open up their minds and their hearts, that they come up with ideas, Father God, entrepreneurial spirit. We open it up in the mighty name of Jesus. Give us a wisdom, Father. Yes, in the name of Jesus, even to be good caretakers of those blessings you give us, Father, to be good stewards, good managers of those resources you give us, and wisdom to come up and start businesses, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And some among us have already started businesses. I pray that those businesses will flourish, Father. They will grow, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, because sometimes these fathers, they feel discouraged, and they feel not good because they cannot provide for their families well, in the mighty name of Jesus. So I thank you, Father God, for opening these doors for them, that they will be able to provide for their families and love their wives as Christ loved the church, and the wives, yes, taking care of their families and submitting themselves under their only husbands, in the mighty name of Jesus, and children obeying their parents, in the mighty name of Jesus. Even the single parent household, Father, I pray for order, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, in these houses, and respecting each other, the siblings, caring for each other. I rebuke the spirit of jealousy and murder among siblings. I come against you right now. The blood of Jesus is against you, devil. We command you to get your hand off the families, because we know you want to destroy families. When you do so, you successfully destroying families, you are destroying a community, and in the long run, you destroy the whole nation. But today we claim and pray, Father God, for the restoration of families, because we know when we have strong family relations, we have a strong community, we have a strong state, a strong city, and strong nation. Even those who take the public positions of authority, they will be strong and loving, because they are coming from loving families. Because some of them, we see them demonstrating the breakdown of their families, their breakdown and not functioning well, in the mighty name of Jesus. So we thank you, Father God. We pray for the restoration of families, Lord. Yes, and your provision, your guidance, your leading, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God. We continue to pray, Father God, for our leaders, our local leaders, our national and international leaders, the whole executive branches, Father God, for you are a merciful God, the one who said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways. And you, our Heavenly Father, you will hear our prayers from heaven, and you will forgive our sins and heal our land. So this morning, Father God, we stand on the gap for the healing of our nation, for all this instability, all this chaos and commotion that is going on in the Middle East and Russia and all over the world and in Africa and here in these Western countries. There is a lot of distress and instability. We pray, Father God, for order, that you arise, O God, and let all our enemies be scattered in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for forgiving us, Father. We confess we stand on the gap on behalf of your people, behalf of nations, Father, for restoration, Lord, for forgiveness, Lord, for healing of our land. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, Father God, for the President, yes, Joe Biden, and the Vice President, Kamala Harris, and their families, and their cabinet members, Father, that they do what is right and surround them with men and women, yes, of wisdom, who will counsel them, and good counsel, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, and that they receive that good counsel and do what is right. We continue, Father God, to pray and believing for your touch in the legislative branch, the whole Senate, Father, in the House of Representatives, and all our judicial branch, Father God, the Supreme Court and the lower court. There is a lot of changes, and some judges coming down and some coming up and all that, but we do believe, Father God, you are the one who puts men and women in the positions of authority. And we pray for them, Father God, as you instruct us in your word, that we pray for those who are in these positions of authority so that we can live a peaceful life, so that we can have a happy life. So we pray, Father God, that you touch them, that the Congress will pass laws that are good for the people, not oppressing other people or other group of people and giving power and favors to other groups of people, but they pass laws that are fair and just for the betterment of the nation, for the betterment of all people, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, Father God, for the military community. Some are deployed, some are already on the way to be deployed, and their families. I pray, Father God, that you protect them, Father. You touch, Father God, their minds, their emotions, Father God, that they will stay focused and they will do the mission if they are assigned and protected, that we do not lose any men. And we just pray, Father God, that they do not even have to use their guns. Let all this commotion be resolved peacefully, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that they talk it out, Father, and come out with a resolution that is good for both sides of the aisle, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. I honor you, Lord. I glorify your name, for there is no any other God but you. We trust you, Father God. We depend on you. Yes, in the name of Jesus, as we decree and declare Psalm 91, that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Yes, this morning, Father God, we say you are our Lord. Yes, you are our fortress and our refuge, Father. You remain our God, and we trust you, Father God, for chariots, some in horses, some trust in their finances, though they are relationships or friends or whatever, but we trust you, Father God. We remember the name of the Lord our God, for the name of the Lord is our strong tower. And when we run to you, Father God, we are safe. We thank you, Father God, for delivering us Yes, out of the snare of the fowler, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, for upholding us, Father, with your right strong hand. In the mighty name of Jesus, we honor you, we glorify you for hearing our prayers and answering our prayers. We consider it done and permanent, that the enemy will not steal from us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. We thank God again for his grace and his mercy that is sufficient for us. So this morning, before we open the lines, we're going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and go into the Word. And we just thank God that we had a full packed week this week. He is taking us from grace to grace. Yes, from glory to glory. He is not taking us backwards, but we are moving forward. Yes, the month is almost over, and it has been a strong, healthy month, and we thank God for his love. So I know the scripture of this week is coming from the book of Matthew chapter 20, and we are focusing on verses 30 to 34, and we have been praying and believing God to open our the eyes of our hearts, and that we are more discerning and be able to be sensitive to what God is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing, and be aware with what is going on in the world around us so that we know how to intercede. I do know and understand that we ourselves do not know how to pray, but we have the Holy Spirit who is the one who prays on our behalf and intercedes on our behalf, and he is the one who teaches us and leads us. And the Lord, he is a good God, the Lord Jesus, who is full of compassion and who is gracious, also intercedes for us, sitting on the right hand of the Father. Amen. So as I was reading the scripture of the month, I decided to go ahead and read the whole book. And I put it aside, you know, as the scripture was sent on Sunday, and Monday I decided, well, I'm going to read, and I'll go ahead and read the whole chapter. And I did, and I went about my business and do, you know, my other devotions. And yesterday, after prayer in the morning, I realized I was scheduled to take this class. It is an online class, and it's a pre-retirement class. And I was scheduled to take it like 2 years ago, and for one reason or another, I did not. So this one, I was scheduled. They sent a lot of material, but when we came back from the Christmas break, I saw the email, I saw the package, I put it on the side, I said I would look at it, and I did not until yesterday morning, and I was rushing and fumbling through to try to prepare myself. It was a very good class, very informative, but one thing I found out when they were talking about, you know, it's a pre-retirement, and kind of you have to, they give you tools or teach you, try to teach you or lead you to the right direction to see that when is the best time for you to retire, are you prepared, do you have enough resources, whatever, whatever. And as the class was going by, I remembered that I had read the scripture of the week at the beginning, that there was a parable Jesus talked about, and I couldn't put the two and two together. It just was like a flash in my head. So I put it aside, and, you know, class was done around 4:30, took my test and everything, and prepare dinner and everything. And when I went to bed, I kind of had forgotten about it. So I did my prepare myself, my shower, whatever, do my little reading, my little praise, and I went to bed. And I could not sleep. That thought came back to me. So I kept on tossing and turning, and I couldn't sleep. I decided, you know what, I'm just tossing and turning. Well, I might as well wake up and go back and read it and just put it to rest. So I went back and I read the story, and everything came to me, and that's what I would like to share with you. So this is totally fresh. We are both going to a feast. It is totally fresh from what the Holy Spirit gave me, and some I do believe he will just give it to us as we go. So we're going to go and in the same book, which is Matthew chapter 20, I'm going to go on the first 16 verses, which is the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And I am reading, this is New King James Version. And it reads, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive.' So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' When those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own thing? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last. For many are called and few are chosen.'" May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may he bless the hearers and the doers of the word. And we're going to talk a little bit about these men. Just a little background, and if you did not get an opportunity or a chance to reread, because I do know most of us here have read this scripture numerous times, go back and reread it again. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will open something for you for this book, because it is truly packed. you know, the first 16 verses we read, of course, it talks about this parable. And when you go to the next portion, the verses 17 through 19, where Jesus talks or predicts about his death, and, you know, this will be the third time he predicts about his death. And then we pick it up from verse 19 to 28. There is also another story, which is interesting, when I read it last night, about this mother, Zebed's wife. This mother had, they had two boys. So she went to Jesus and she wanted to get a favor. She was trying to buy her way in for her children, for her sons, and asked Jesus, you know, can you do me a favor and have one of my sons on your right side and my other son on the left? And here we learn that you cannot buy yourself or buy your child into the kingdom. They have to be saved, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Unless a person be saved, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And then the last part of it, which is verses 29 to 34, that's where it talks about these two blind men who received their sight. And that's where our scripture of the week is. And where I would like for us to concentrate on are the first 16 verses. And in this story, we see that early in the morning, this man, who owned his vineyard, he is a landowner, and he also, just by reading, you can see he was a organized, and I think this vineyard was a business, big business in the community, or big business in that state where he was, because the Bible said early in the morning when this man woke up, you know, he sat down with his lead, or the chief person, or some of his workers, and they said, and they had to make an agreement and come up with an amount and say, you know, we got too much work, we need some help. What are we going to give the people whom we go out and hire and help us? And they agreed that they are going to give each person per day a denarius. If I recall well, my New Testament class I took way back when I was in college at Oral Roberts, I wish I had listened more then, but when you are young, you are naive and whatever, you have different ideas. I wish I had listened better. But if I recall well, a denarius is like an ancient Roman gold. It was a gold coin that is worth like 25 pieces of silver, or 25 silver denarii. So a denarius, there are more of them. There are at least one denarius is about 25 silver denarii. And other people, they think it is also a weight of two horses or two donkeys. So it is a decent weight, you know, decent wage. Probably in our 21st century, this can be like a Bitcoin, you know, something with something. So it was not a bad deal. So when they talked out, they decided, okay, this is what we're going to do, and we'll go out. And it just reminds me back home when I was growing up. You know, people used to wake up. They didn't have decent jobs. Not everybody, you know, in the country. I'm not talking about in the city. This is in the country. You know, when people wake up, they go to the growth point or the shopping center. That's where people will hang out, and they will be talking, laughing, dancing. And the radio is so loud, people will be dancing, a group over here, a group over there, listening to this one radio, which is in the store. It might be two small convenience stores, and the whole community, that's where people will hang out. If they are looking for work, that's where you wake up and go, because those who have work to hire, who have farms or little little projects going on. They just come with a pickup truck and say, I'm looking for five men, because what they are looking for are just muscle, you know, just people to do handiwork. You don't need to be a professional or have a certificate. And some of them, they will just say, I need five men jumping in the truck. They don't ask your name. They don't ask anyone. They just tell you at the end of the day, I give you $1 or I give you $2. And if you want, you just jump in, you go, you do what you are told, and when you are done, they give you your $2. Some, they want to move. You don't have to find a truck with two men and a truck. You just go to the shopping center. You say, I have this goods. I want you to load this truck for me. And come in and you load it, whether it take you 30 minutes, it take you an hour, it take you 2 hours, I give you $1, I give you 50 cents a piece. And they jump in, they load your truck, the same thing to offload. So that's the way where I grew up, and it reminded me when I read this story. So this man, this landowner, after he had decided what to do, he went at 9 o'clock in the morning and went to the marketplace and negotiated with men to hire, jump in the truck, and they jumped and took them to his vineyard. And the Bible says at about 12 in the afternoon, you know, 3 hours later, he looked and he saw there is still some work to be done. I'm just paraphrasing here. So he went out and hired some more men. And then he went back again around 3 o'clock, and he's like, oh, what are you guys doing? You're not working. I got something for you to do. I'll give you a denarius. Can you jump in and come and help me? So they came. So these people who went in early in the morning, they are seeing all these phases of people coming. And you know, probably they were getting tired as well. They were not putting in as much effort as they were when they started. We all have done some work, whether it's cleaning the house. When you start, you are energized and you are cleaning. And as time goes on, in hour two or three or four, you get tired. And sometimes you are like, you know what? I will take a break, or I am going to stop here and I will pick it up tomorrow or another day. So, but this man had a mission. He wanted the work to be done in his vineyard, and he wanted people to do so. When he see that the work is slowing down every few hours, he will go and pick some more. And the Bible said at around 5 o'clock, that's when he picked his last bunch of people to come, and he told the same thing. Why are you standing here? You are not doing anything. Come on, come and help me. So they went. And the Bible said after about an hour, when this last batch of people were picked up, the one that came around 5 o'clock, so that means around 6, he said, well, the sun is going down, the day is almost over, let us pay these people. So he instructed his foremen and said, give them, starting with the ones who came later, the last one. If I recall well, in my business school, when I went to graduate school, I learned some business. They have a methodology they call first in, first out, first in, last out, last in, first out, especially if you are in a warehouse. Let's say, for example, you are building a house and you want to store everything, all your supplies you want to use. When you put them in the storage, you don't start by putting foundation stuff or the, you know, your board and everything. You put the foundation on the back, the roofing, and you work your way in, so that when you take your goods out to go and build your house, you don't have to dig through to go and take what you need, but they are all strategically put so that you take what you need first. It will be right up front. So that's what they call first in, last out. And one thing we learn on this parable is also order. We have to be organized, not only in the spiritual or the physical realm, but in all areas of our lives, we need to be organized. We need to know where things are. That also applies to us reading the word and knowing what the word of God says, because if we are not aware, we can be astray. I always try to use this example. You know, people always say, ah, God help all those who help themselves. And now people, you hear preachers and people quoting it in the church or on the pulpit as if it is a scripture, but it is not biblical. There is no scripture, there is no verse in the Bible that says God helps those who help themselves. But he is our helper. He is the one who helps us. We don't have to help ourselves for God to help us. But he says, come unto me, all ye who are weak, all those who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he is the one who is our helper. He helps us in the time of need. He does not help us because we can help ourselves. If we can help ourselves, then we do not need him. But we need him because we cannot help ourselves. And that's what we learn on this story as I continue telling you the story. So the Bible says, when they started giving the people the money, he started with those who came later. And I guess the ones who came first were peeping and looking up to see how much they are being given. When they saw that they were also being given a denarius, I think they were so excited and murmuring among themselves, whispering to themselves, oh, maybe we are going to get two or three since we have been here the first. But surprise, surprise, surprise. The first ones we were hired, they noticed that they were also given a denarius. And they started complaining, you know, and said, why are you giving us a denarius? We have worked so hard. This is so unfair. We are the ones who came in earlier, and these people just worked an hour, and they are getting the same wage as ours. And the landowner reminded them that, you know, this is what we have agreed. This is what we talked about, that you come in and do this work and I will give you a denarius. And you said yes, and you came. So I am not cheating you. I am not treating you unfairly, but I am giving you exactly what we have agreed on. So in our lives, we have, I'm talking about salvation. This story teaches us about salvation. There are times when people get complacency and think that it is all about how many years you have been saved or how long you have been on the usher board, how long you have been in the hospitality team, or how long you have been in the choir. But that's not what it is all about. Whether you are in the praise and worship choir team, whether you are in the hospitality, in the administration, or even those who are in the ministry as pastors or elders or deacons or apostles or prophets or whatever, it's not about that. It's about what God has agreed or what he has done for us. This is all about salvation. This is all about faith, that we are all saved by grace through faith. It has nothing to do with the length of time we have served him. It has nothing to do with offices we hold. It is all about his mercy and his grace that is sufficient, his love. It's all about the blood of Jesus that washes away all our sins. It is not even about what you have done before you were saved, whether you were a liar, whether you were a thief, whether you were a cheater, whether you were a murderer, or whatever, or as small as picking up a pen or walking away with a pen from the from your banker, or from whatever office you were doing paperwork, and walk away with a pen and whatever, or copying, you know, picking up paper or supplies from your office where you work. There is no big sin. There is no small sin. Sin is sin. We are what washed by the blood of Jesus. Even in our day-to-day living, when you look today, you know, people, they try to justify and try to figure out ways how to make their lives look better. But it's not about what we do. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I am just, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm just thinking and reminded of, you know, in our everyday life or in the world today, they thought they figure it out, you know, to find a way. Let's talk about, let's say it's a debt. You know, you make mistakes, make wrong judgment, make wrong business call, or just not knowledgeable enough about the credit cards and all the lending and taking a debt. So now you are stuck in debt and you try to make your way out and it doesn't work. And they have all these other commodities and different programs that are out there, you know, debt consolidation programs. And most of the time, from the few people I have talked with, those programs didn't work for them. And some, they have, when I was in the banking, as a banker, we had all these different programs we had, and also, you know, whether it's liquidation, they call it Chapter 8, 7 bankruptcy, where you liquidate all your assets and try to sell and see how much you can pay, and they have some kind of payment plan. I think it's called Chapter 13, and they have all these different chapters of bankruptcy, Chapters 11, 12, 9, some they are specialized on the municipalities, you know, the schools and the cities and the towns when they fail and they do some kind of a bankruptcy. Or even farmers, they have programs in this country, in these Western countries. They have programs for farmers and miners and all fishermen and fail. They have their special program. All these are many-made, but they also fail. They have strings attached. Why am I talking about all these? I am talking about all these so that we can understand that salvation, you know, is more than trying to save yourself, trying to redeem yourself. Self-redemption does not work, but salvation, for all we have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we need, when we go out there and we share the word of God, we share the good news, because everything people are being told about is bad news. It's not working. And we have found the one that works, which is salvation. The blood of Jesus is the only that can save us. That's what I am taking out of this story, that it does not matter whether you come first or you come last. It doesn't matter what kind of a sin you have done, small or big. In the eyes of God, it's all of us. We are saved by the grace of God, by faith. And we need salvation. Jesus, our Savior. And we know better. We have seen the light. That's the message we need to take out there. We are believing this year, 2022, for 2,200 souls. That doesn't mean that those 2,200 souls have to attend your church. But that means those 2,200 souls we are believing for will come to the salvation and into the kingdom of God. That includes those who are international. That includes those who cross our state borders where we are living. So brothers and sisters, we have good news, which is salvation, that Jesus saves life. Jesus is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. And we need to let the world know that, yes, you have been going for counseling for years and things haven't worked. You have been seeing a psychologist or a therapist and this and that, and it hasn't worked for you. Let us give them, tell them about Jesus. Try Jesus, and he is able. Nothing against somebody talking to someone. It is good. This is part of our therapy ourselves as we get together in the morning and we pray together and encourage each other. So it is good to talk to someone, but ours surpasses just the book knowledge. Ours surpasses just sitting on the couch and let somebody talk and someone is just listening. It's more than that. Touches all areas of our lives. Men can take you so far. All man-made resources are limited, but Jesus, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is good news. People are tired of bad news. Let us spread the good news. It does not matter whether you came long back, because I have talked with some people and they say, oh, you know what, I just have fallen off, it has been years, I don't think God will forgive me, or oh, I have done so much, you don't understand, I don't think. But we need to let them know that it doesn't matter whether you showed up at the 5th hour, at the 12th hour. It doesn't matter whether you came in at the 9th hour. It doesn't matter whether you came in at the earlier hour. We are all saved by his grace, and we all receive the salvation because he already paid a debt that he did not own. And we owed a debt that we could not pay. So people, we need salvation. They need good news. Let us spread good news that Jesus is the Savior. So my brothers and sisters, the lines are open, and we're going to pray for salvation. Let this morning focus on salvation. We know some of our family members. I have a lot of family members that need salvation. I have neighbors who need salvation, co-workers who need salvation, friends who need salvation, strangers who need salvation. So this morning, let us pray for salvation, for Jesus is the Savior. It doesn't matter where they are. Let's pray the good news, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. Let us pray for our brothers and sisters in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Father God, this morning, for you are the Savior. In the mighty name of Jesus, for yes, Lord Jesus, yes, as John said, I wish above all things that all men should prosper come from salvation. Yes, in the mighty name of Jesus, please, your desire that men should not perish, but men everlasting life. So I pray, Father God, for salvation, our brothers and sisters out there. Yes, regardless of what it is, the stronghold that is holding them, any manner of abuse, whether it is alcohol abuse, prescription abuse, illegal drug abuse, whatever manner of abuse, Father, we pray for them. Some are even involved in prostitution. Some are even involved in human trafficking of the brothers and sisters. Abusing their children, abusing their families, abusing their neighbors. We call for the air salvation this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, Father God. Yes, Lord Jesus. And you said, if it is Nicodemus, when he came by night, and he asked it, and he asked, what can I do to be saved? In the name of Jesus, and you said to him, accept him and be qualified. Accept him, born again, he cannot see the
In the name of Jesus, the right word, 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 the
We thank you, Father God. We honor you. That it is done. It is done. By the presence of
those who are lost, Father, in the name of Jesus.
That we overpopulate heaven and depopulate hell. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father God. I honor you, Lord. Yes, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. That is with our family members, Father.
On this prayer line to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to encourage one another, and to live by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We praise God. Have a beautiful weekend. Get some relaxation. Do what you do to the glory of God, and he will continue to bless and keep you and take you through every test and trial. In Jesus' name, I love you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you more.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're so grateful for each and every one who has joined us today. There may be somebody out there that has not received Jesus as your Savior. We invite you to do the sinner's prayer with us today, and then you will be saved. As you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, if you repeat after me, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I confess with my mouth, I believe in my heart, that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. I ask you, Father, to help me to grow in the things of God. We thank God for each and every one who did the sinner's prayer. The angels are rejoicing, and we rejoice with you. What I suggest is that you find a good Bible-teaching church to attend in your region. Find a church that will teach you about Jesus and his love, so that you will be able to grow in the knowledge of the truth. If you desire to send a donation, an offering, a love offering, anything that will support our ministry, you may send it to Prayer, Praise, and Deliverance Ministry. The address is 1698 Carol Lay Drive. The street is spelled C-H-E-R-Y-L. Second word is L-E-I-G-H Drive. That's 1698 Carol Lay Drive in the city of Riverdale, Georgia. Zip code 30296. If you desire to listen to a session after we're off the air, you can log in to blogtalk.com, Prayer, Praise, Deliverance. Once again, that's blogtalk.com, Prayer, Praise, Deliverance. Or you may dial the number 605-313-4929. The access code is 278-961-POUND. Select the pound sign to listen to the current session. And if you want to listen to a previous session, please call me or send me a text. My number is 904-859-1022. Once again, the number is 904-859-1022. I decree that the plowman overtakes the reaper in your life, and you live in continuous abundance. I decree that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and the blessings of the Lord continue to overtake you as you live for Jesus Christ. Amen.